you very much. Thank you very much. It's so good to have you all join us for another episode today of Relationship Expert Dr. AA. I am the relationship expert for today. And as Eddie told you, from my resume, you can see I am clearly an expert in relational matters. And the goal today is to solve all of your relationship problems. Now, for those of you who are just joining us today and thinking, what in the world is wrong with us, okay, we are wrapping up a series we've been talking about for the past several weeks about dating and relationships, the most important one being the marriage relationship and how to prepare for it. And as we've been going through this series, lots of people had lots of questions. I received lots of them over email, people slipped me little notes under the table and stuff like that. So what we're going to do today is hopefully answer all the questions that you have. And it's going to be an interactive time where you can ask questions straight from your seat right there. We'll do it Oprah style, okay? So I'll run to you and you can ask the question. And hopefully you leave here today with all your questions answered. For those, I see a lot of new faces joining us today. Don't worry, we're usually not crazy like this. This is just a one-time thing. Usually we're much more normal. Okay, so with that said, let's jump right on in to the questions. What you'll see is there's some questions that I compiled from the emails and the questions and stuff like that that I kind of planted in the audience. Okay, I'll give you guys a little secret. I planted them in the audience. But in between there, if there's other questions that pop up, don't hesitate to raise your hand or make some noise or something like that, and we'll get to you. So, does anyone have any questions? Mark Nechla, do you have any questions that you'd like to ask? Okay, very good. Mark Nechla, very good.
There's a popular theory that says, right girl plus wrong time equals wrong girl. Is this statement true? If so, could it actually become right later on down the road? The time changes, both people are right.
Thank you very much. So I just happen to have a way to get Mark's questions up here on the screen, okay? And Mark's question was, it's a very good question, Mark, and I appreciate you opening up and sharing with us there. There's a popular theory that states right girl, wrong time equals wrong girl, or boy if you're a girl, okay? Right person at the wrong time is the wrong person. True or false? True or false, okay. Both of you are kind of right, okay? The right answer is, let me ask the question in a different way, okay? Basically, this question is saying, if I meet the right person, but it's just not the right time, if I hold on to the relationship, is there a chance that it eventually becomes the right thing? It could become the right thing later on down the road. And the popular theory out there is yes, okay, that maybe it's just the wrong timing, but maybe it's not maybe it's not the person's problem, maybe it's just the timing's problem. So therefore, if I held on to it, the timing may be later down the road. It's a good question, it's a common question, and the answer is it's false. Okay? But it's false not for the reason that you think it's false. I don't like the way this is worded. Right girl plus wrong time equals wrong girl. That's usually what we think of. I look at it in this perspective. Right girl plus wrong time equals wrong situation. It's not a matter of if the girl is wrong or the girl is right, or the boy is right or the girl or the boy is wrong, or if the timing or this and that. Either it's right or it's wrong. Okay? Either I should be in the relationship or I shouldn't. But what we try to do is try to kind of keep, I know I'm not supposed to be in, but I just try to kind of keep it myself really close by so that when the right time comes, I'm not that far away. I don't buy that. If any part of the equation is wrong, then the whole thing is wrong. Just like if I have a nice cake made up of 15 different ingredients, if any one of the ingredients is spoiled, the whole thing is gone. Okay? I have to start over from scratch. I can't just hold on to the 14 that are okay and try to mix in one element. That's what we try to do. Okay? So if the timing is wrong, meaning you're at a point in your spiritual life where you shouldn't be in a relationship, you're at a point in your life where you're not ready to be involved, then it doesn't matter who the other person is or how good the other person is. If it's wrong, it's wrong. End of story. No two ways about it. Okay? This is a good principle for many things in life, but see it very clearly with relationships. Our problem is that we like to work out later. But God doesn't care about later. God cares only about now. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." This is a good one. Look at this next line here for those of you who are holding on for tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Meaning, there's an answer. Should I be in this relationship? If it's yes, then it's yes. If it's no, doesn't matter what the reason, then the answer is no, and I shouldn't be into it. Another way of you can think about this. This applies for all of God's will. Is it possible to ruin something good that God has for me later by being involved in it right now? Let me say that again in a better way. If God has something planned for me next year, and I want it right now, is it possible for me to ruin it? Absolutely. Can anyone think of an example? Biblical example or a practical example? Who?
Abraham.
Okay. Not 100%, but okay. Well, that's a good try. How about this one? I know a boy, true story, who was supposed to get his license when he was 16 years old. He decided at age 15, he would take his parents' car keys. Okay? He decided to go for a joyride. And at 16, he was supposed to get his own set of keys, and he was supposed to get his own car, but because at 15, he ruined it, what happened when he was 16? Well, he's now 16 and a half and still waiting, okay, for the end of that story, because he didn't have any keys, because he ruined it by taking it too early. Same thing with relationships. Sometimes you meet the right person, and you think it's going to work, this and that. The worst thing you can do is start dating the person. And the worst thing you can do is get involved in a relationship with that person, because you'll most likely screw it up, okay, if it's not God's timing. Okay? So, forget about this right girl, wrong timing means, you know, I'm just going to be patient and wait on God. Being patient, waiting on God, what we're really saying is, I want what I want and I'm not going to let go of it regardless of what God says. So that's no good. Make sense? Okay? Any other questions in the audience today? Let's see. Yes, Manar, since you raised your hand. Go ahead. Ask your question. That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that, Manar. I just happen to have an answer for that as well. Feel free to stop me anytime if you want to interject. Someone asked a question. Does God change his mind about relationships? This person went on to tell me a story about how she was involved in a relationship that was a good relationship. Okay? A very godly relationship. She was serving in the church, and he was a deacon, and he was a good guy, and she was a good girl, and they were the right age, and their parents knew, and their parents loved it. And their father of confession knew, and the father of confession approved it. And everything just seemed to be walking down that right path. And if you'd have asked her, or you'd have asked him, or anyone around them, is God leading you towards this? The answer would have been a 100% vote of confidence. And God was opening doors. Then they hit a rough spot. A lot of arguments, a lot of fights, everything wasn't working. As if someone threw a wrench right in the wheel right there. And it led to a breakup, pain, heartache, crying, tears, why, all this kind of stuff. And it led the person to ask this question. Does God change his mind? Because it kind of seems like he did. It kind of seems like he was saying yes, yes, and he was opening doors. Then all of a sudden it seemed like he closed them just as quickly as he opened them. Does God change his mind? Is it possible that God says yes for a relationship now, but then just to break you up later on? Or did she misread the signs? She clearly could have misread the signs, and none of us know, okay? But let's assume that she didn't misread the signs. How it worked like that? Did God say yes? But now it's clear that it wasn't meant to be. He's happily married. She's happy that she's not married to him, okay? And everyone is very, very happy and everything's fine. But at the time, every single person would have said yes. How? Is that possible? Whatever. Sure, go ahead.
I would say, number one, that sometimes God gives us... Can everybody hear me? I would say that sometimes God... gives us situations for us to learn from.
Okay.
Number one, I think that woman and the man is so much more better off having had that experience.
Okay.
I would say the second thing is that sometimes we look for signs that we think are coming from God.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because your mom really likes him, does that mean that this mm-hmm. is the one that God picked for you. I think that God gives us a sense of peace mm-hmm. and a sense of kind of things going very easily mm-hmm. when it is coming from God. Mm-hmm. I think that everybody in a relationship has to always say, Lord, if this is from you, then let it go smoothly. If mm-hmm. it's not, end it quickly. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
Very good. Give her a big hand. That's a very good answer. That I didn't plant that answer right there, okay? But Mimi hit the nail right on the head. I'll talk about her. She made 2 points. I'll do them backwards order. Because she said that, yes, sometimes we misread the signs. We're looking to make it happen, so we're saying because of this and that. Absolutely. But let's assume that the signs really were there and God was opening the door. It's exactly like Mimi said. Let me tell you too in another way right here. I believe that as Mimi said, as this person is asking, it could have been 100% from God and then also be 100% not from God, both of them. How can something be from God and not from God? How can God want me to do something and not want me to do something? Well, very simple. He wanted me to do it for a certain time, and then later on, he wanted me not to do it. That seems like it's backwards. It seems like God should just make up his mind and not be difficult about things because I end up getting hurt in the process. You know, and it seems more painful for me. Anyone who's ever been hurt knows that some of your greatest life lessons come out of pain. And some of the greatest things that you learn could come out of the most trying and painful experiences. So with that, I'm going to reiterate exactly what Mimi said. I'll say it another way right here. Realize for God, the shortest distance between 2 points is not always a straight line. Okay? So God may want me to get from here to there. And the logical thing is point A to point B to point C. Not for God. That's not how God works. For sometimes for God, it's from point A to point B to point D to point G. Circle around, do some donuts around X and Y over here. End up back at A. And then maybe not get to C for another 10, 15, 20 years. How? Why? That seems like a big waste of time. Well, it's not a waste of time because I'm not the same person I was at the beginning. Okay? I wasn't ready to go to B, and I certainly wasn't ready to go to C. I need to learn certain lessons. And like Mimi said, and like I'm saying for you, is that some of our greatest lessons come out of some of our greatest pains. Okay? So it doesn't mean necessarily that you're on the wrong path. For this person, I believe they were on the right path. And I believe sometimes God opens doors just to close them, just to open a bigger door and a better door. Another way that you can look at it, there's a verse here from Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. The verse I always think of about how God can use pain in a good way. When Joseph was betrayed by his brothers and sold and slave and all this kind of stuff. As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Again, back to what I was saying before. Forget about tomorrow. That's the key thing. Okay, forget about what's God's plan for tomorrow. You only have one duty in life. When it comes to relationships or anything, where does God want me today? And if today puts me here, and then tomorrow puts me here, and then tomorrow puts me here, it doesn't matter. All that matters is today. And if today I'm supposed to be here, I blindly obey. And if tomorrow he takes me there, I say, yes, sir. Our problem is we say, God, show me the whole map. Show me the map, show me, let's... If I'm going to get in a car, I'm going to Google it, do Google Maps, see where I'm going, see the directions. I want to know in advance exactly where I'm going to go. God is not like the Google Maps. God is more like the GPS. It tells you one turn at a time and one step at a time. And he says, now I want you here. And if I decide to take you there or take you there, what's it to you? I'm in charge and I know what's best for you, so you got to trust me. Okay? So is God changing his mind? Not really. Okay? But God, just like I said, sometimes the shortest distance... not always a straight line. Make sense? Okay? Doing good here, a question? Yeah.
Is it possible that the person changed, and rather than blaming it on God, and it's just plan change, it just the other person changed? And
That's a really good question. Is it possible that the other person changed? You know what? I'm going to answer it. That relates to one of our next questions. We'll see which one it is. Let's skip down... who would I give number 3 to? No, Dave. Dave, why don't you ask your question right now? There you go, very good.
Actually, even though this question is planned, it's a question of mine, so okay.
Okay. I'm going to tie in this question to that question. Is there only, for I'll answer this one first, then get to yours. Is it possible, is there only one person out there for me? Just like in the movies, and just like in the songs, that there's one person somewhere out there under the stars. Is there one person? I'm going to answer this question as it relates to everyone else except me. Okay? The answer is no. For except me, don't let him tell my wife that I said that. Okay, I'm the exception here. And my wife, sweetheart, you're the only one for me. Wherever you are out there, you're the only one for me, and no one else would make me happy, and that's 100%. But for everyone else, you're going to hate me for this one. I know you're going to hate me, but I have to speak the truth, okay? You're going to hate me, you're going to hate me, you're going to hate me. Is there someone out there whose zodiac sign matches my zodiac sign and who is, you know, all this kinds of nonsense, this romantic stuff? Let me tell you logically why there can't be only one person out there. Let's say, like Ehab said, I won't use myself because I won't get in trouble. I don't want to use anyone else here to get in trouble. Let's say Mickey and Minnie, okay? Homer and Marge, that's an easy one, okay? Let's say Homer wasn't supposed to marry Marge, okay? That was not from God, okay? God aligned it for Homer to marry the Flanderses' wife, okay? Homer made a mistake. Homer married Marge. Homer was outside the will of God. God wanted Marge to get married, right? God wanted Mrs. Flanderses to get married too, right? Well, if Homer was the only one for the Flanders person, then whoever she marries is going to be wrong, and whoever that person was supposed to marry is going to be wrong, and whoever that person was supposed to marry, if this was supposed to marry this, and that one married this, well, then this one's automatically just hosed in life, and he can never be happy because of mistakes that these two made. It doesn't sound logical. It doesn't sound fair. Okay, that I would pay, and especially if you multiply it over generations, what if one guy back like 10,000 years ago made a mistake, then all of us are doomed for the rest of eternity? My parents are the wrong parents. Like, it can't make sense that way, that there's only one person out there. When it comes to your spouse, as well as, like, it applies honestly to your job, things like that, like, we want to have this idea that there's only one job out there for me, okay? And there's only one woman out there for me. I don't believe in that mess, and I'll tell you why. Because I believe that God cares much more about who I am as a person than He cares about who I marry. Another way of saying it, which again, you're not going to like this. This is the most unromantic thing in the world, but it's the truth, is marriage is not the end goal. Marriage is a means to the end. Ugh, how could I say that? How could I say that? It's not. You know what? I kind of made a mistake. Marriage is the end, but not this marriage. This marriage. This is the end goal. Okay? And again, back to my little example. The end is that I get right there. Okay? To that point in time where I'm one with Christ. And that's the goal for every one of us. And if I'm right here, maybe the path is from here to here. But let's say I'm disobedient to God's will. I'm straying from God's will, and now I'm over here. Is the path the same? Let's say I'm really, really straight, and I'm all the way over here. Am I hosed? Can I get back to God's will? Of course I can get back, but is the path going to be the same? No. So the path to get to the goal is different depending on kind of where I am. So with that said, when I am getting ready to get married, does God have a will? Absolutely. Does God have someone that He thinks, like, that He wants me to get? Absolutely. But is it someone that was ordained from the beginning of time, that He put the stars and this and that, and there's no way around and stuff like that? No, absolutely not. A real life example that matches what Ehab was saying. I know a girl who's great, who's wonderful, who's the best, and she got together with a boy who was, my personal opinion, good, but sub her, okay? Like, he was lucky to have what he had, my personal kind of editorial right here. He was foolish and got hung up on something very, very trivial, okay, on something very foolish, and I believe the will of God, which should have been attained right here, what was great for this girl and great for this boy to be attained, he called it off, okay? And he's struggling, he's hurting right now. What happened to the girl? She's doomed? Will of God, that's it? this boy made a wrong decision, this boy was an idiot, and she's doomed? No. God sent her someone better. Easy. Would it have been God's will, and could God have made this the best? Yeah. The boy said no. For him, that's a different story. He's got to make some like repairs because he messed up himself. But for her, she was an innocent bystander, so to speak. She was accepting the will of God, assuming it's the will of God. Of course, none of us knows. She was accepting. He said no. Is she hosed? Is she done? Is she can never be happy in life, and her kids are doomed, and her kids' kids and kids is doomed, and everyone's doomed? No. God, easy. Give someone even better. Okay? So your spouse is not the end. Your spouse is a means to the end. So like I said, when I'm here, and I have all these choices around me, God wants me to choose this girl because she's going to get me right here. If I stray, and I ignore God, and I this, and I that, all that kind of stuff, and I end up over here, all those girls may be gone. I'm not done in life. I have another one that can bring me right here. So I'm not saying that God doesn't have a particular will at every single moment in time. He does. Okay? And at this moment in time, He does have a job that He wants you to take. And He does have a will for you in terms of dating. And He does have like a decision that He wants you to do in all these things. But it is not something that, like I said, it's a one shot. And if you miss it, sorry. Does that make sense? That's going to require some follow-up. Go ahead, Sherry.
This isn't personal to me, but what if you're not like seeking God's will when you do decide to marry someone, and then what happens after that?
Ah, okay. So what if you're not seeking God's will when you decide to get married? Are you saying like people who have gotten married and they weren't really seeking God's will, what do they do right now?
Yeah, and they're
well, that's the thing. Well, that's the thing about that verse that I showed you guys. That back here is that God is able to bring good out of even the bad. God wants me here, and God is persistent. God is stubborn, okay? And God can get me there regardless of where I am. So the further I've strayed, obviously the more it may take me to get back, you know, here the church is on 11911 Braddock Road. And if you're starting off in Vienna, yeah, take 66 West, hop off of 50 West, Shirley Gate, boom, 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 boom. Let's say you decided, I stray from God. I go to Arlington. Even worse than Arlington, I go to Maryland. Ugh, not Maryland. Not a big fan of Maryland, but that's okay. Does that mean I can't get back to God's will? No. It means you may have to take the Beltway, okay? Which no one wants to take the Beltway. But it doesn't mean that you're doomed, okay? It just means you may have to go a different direction. You may have to go north, may have to go south, may have to go east. Like, it depends on where you've gone, but you can always get back to God's will, okay? So there's never a time... There's never a time where you can't get back to God's will, okay? And you can see so many examples of people who have changed their lives and repented. They were completely outside of God's will at one point in time, but they were able to make it back in. Okay, that's what repentance does for us. You know what I'm saying? I made a sin when I was in second grade. I flicked Matthew Somerville in the ear when Mrs. Butler was looking, and I got in trouble that day. And I remember, I never forget that I got in trouble that day. That was a sin. Does that mean for the rest of my life, I'm outside of the will of God? Because of what I did to Matthew Somerville in second grade? No. Okay? That means, you know, I may have to anger management or something like that if I have a problem with that. But it means I can always get back on. You're never doomed with God. Okay? Answer your question? Other questions about this one? This one is kind of a touchy one. So we all agree there's not that one person who's... Oh, yeah.
What if one person thinks that the relationship is the will of God and the other person doesn't?
What if one person thinks the relationship is the will of God and the other one doesn't? It's very similar to that example that I was talking about. I'm assuming, okay, in my example, that it was the will of God. And like I said, I don't know. But if it's not the will of God, then it's easy. Okay? If it's not the will of God, then God's like... Either way, it's irrespective. What I mean by that is, God will not allow your mistake to destroy my life. Okay? God will not allow your mistake to destroy my life. So if I believe this is the will of God, and you believe it's not the will of God, and it doesn't happen, it's okay. Okay? Of course, it may cause pain, it may cause this, but God can provide something better. And God will provide something better. And maybe it wasn't His will to begin with either way. The point is, again... I look up at God in the morning. I say, God, here I am. What do you want me to do today? I don't say, which is what we usually say, God, here I am today, please make this happen, and don't let this person say this, and don't let this and that. Here I am today, what do you want me to do? Okay? Convinced, lovebirds? Yes.
You were saying that, like, if something is the will of God, that it opens doors and, like, that it goes smoothly, but isn't it unrealistic to expect a relationship to go smoothly?
Very good question. It's a very good question. Yes, it is completely unrealistic to expect a relationship to always go smoothly. But there's an element here. The most important criteria in a relationship, okay, is just like I'm saying, is God wants it or God doesn't want it. If I know for sure, and I'll answer how to find that out later, but if I know for sure that God wants this relationship to work, then I'll fight through the unsmoothness, okay? I'll fight through the things that the stumblings and the obstacles and this and that. But our problem is, until we know that for certain, we have to be, like right now, I'm married. There may be obstacles in my marriage. I know I'm very happily married, the best in the whole wide world, okay? And I know it's God's will 100%, but also there's an element of, I don't really have a choice, okay? Not that I want a choice, but I'm saying, I don't have a choice. So I will fight through those obstacles. However, before I'm married, I do have a choice. So the critical point in time is getting to that, is this from God or is this not from God? And that's not an easy thing, which I can answer right now. If there's one stumbling block, does that mean it's not from God? No. If I see 500 obstacles and stumbling blocks, that's a sign of maybe it's not from God. I need to be in tune with God under the guidance of my father of confession, okay, and let God, like I have to, that's why I said in the beginning, if you don't have a relationship with God, you're really in trouble, okay? Like the person who comes to me and says, I met this girl and I met this girl, which one do I marry? I want to open the Bible and let God tell me. Wait a minute. Slow down. Or I want to put the two names on the altar, pray a liturgy, the first time I prayed in my life, okay, and have God choose the right one. Slow down. You have no relationship with God, okay? You don't know what God's voice sounds like. You're going to have a real tough time in this situation. I hope the first time you call upon God, it's not for something like, who am I supposed to marry? I hope I've learned how to hear His voice in little things, and hope I have that relationship so that when it comes time I'm trying to pick who to marry, I know what His voice sounds like, and it's familiar to me. And I'll see Him either through the stumbling blocks, or I'll see His will through the stumbling blocks, or the open doors, or whatever. Okay? That make sense? Did that answer your question? Okay? Now, how to hear God's voice, that's a bigger thing. That's kind of like, the first topic in this series that we talked about building your foundation on the One. Okay? And if you don't have that strong relationship with God, all the other fancy schmancy in the books and the techniques, throw it out the window. You're basically closing your eyes and hoping to hit a bullseye. And you may. You're probably not, though. Okay? So if you don't have that foundation of a relationship with God, you're really, really, really going to be in trouble. And that's where it's got to start. And that's what I tell the desperate, just pick a name guy for me, is that it doesn't work this way. You need to establish that relationship with God. Yes, Mina?
Yes, basically I was trying to get more in tune with what you said earlier about what's the intention of marriage. Marriage is not the end of itself, mm-hmm. but it's being in a relationship with Christ, being one with Christ. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the word salvation in itself, it implies healing, mm-hmm. spiritual healing. And that's the purpose of marriage, mm-hmm. to help us to heal. You know, many individuals have a perception of salvation as like it's a one-time thing, like you're in a courtroom, but actually it's a healing process. And yet, when you're in marriage, I'm not an expert by any means, Abuna, I leave it up to you.
Thank you.
And all of you who have many years of experience in marriage. But it is, everything is going to come out in marriage. How you've been, you know, raised as a child, all of the impulses and mm-hmm. those weaknesses and common desires and passion, everything has to come out. But God promises that He will heal us, and that's the process of salvation, that sanctification process. And also, as a result of that healing, we will gain virtues and we will be healed. That's why God took His time in choosing a person like St. Mary, mm-hmm. because that genealogy she came from, it took a long process of healing mm-hmm. that perfect person for Christ to come mm-hmm. and be born from such a woman mm-hmm. because of her background. Mm-hmm. That healing process took place in that lineage that she had. And so we too can be healed. And through these things mm-hmm. as a process.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Meena. Alright, so we're all clear. So for the rest of you people, there's not one. For me, there is one. Okay? Let's get to question... do you really have a question or just the one? Okay, very good. Although that'd be really random if she asked. Go ahead, Katie, what's your question?
You talk a lot about dating and how you shouldn't get emotionally attached, mm-hmm. but how are you supposed to get to know someone without getting emotionally attached?
Very good. Thank you very much, Katie. Good question. I'm glad you asked. So, as we were discussing this series, we talked about how you shouldn't rush to get emotionally attached to a person. And that can cause lots of problems. We talked about the emotional attachment. Obviously, we talked about the physical attachment and why that's bad and why none of that stuff. So we're not even answering that stuff. But the emotional stuff, how am I supposed... This is a very good question. I'm not supposed to be emotionally attached to the person. Yet somehow, I'm supposed to become one with them. How? How do I get to know a person so deeply that I'm ready to marry them and be with them for the rest of my life and yet not be emotionally attached to the person? There's no easy answer for that one, okay? It is not possible to get to know someone without being emotionally involved with the person. Again, it is not possible to really get to know someone without some emotional attachment and emotional involvement. However, okay, there's a difference between slowly, gradually easing into emotional attachment and belly flopping right in, which is what a lot of us do, okay? We're emotional belly floppers, emotional vomiters. First date, we just, it all comes out, okay? And we are emotionally attached from the very, very start. That's not the right system. There has to be something in between, okay? From no emotional attachment to the belly flop method. And what I believe is there should be emotional involvement, but it should be deliberate, and it should be prayerful, and it should be all under the guidance of my father of confession. Meaning I shouldn't run, but I also, guys, shouldn't drag my feet. Okay? I should move at a nice, comfortable, prayerful, deliberate pace. That pace is different for everyone. Everyone wants to know what's the right pace. It's different. Everyone's different. There's no right standard formula. But what there is, and I kind of talked about this before. Well, let's see a verse right here. Song of Solomon, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 5. Says, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. This should be like your model, okay? That there's a lot of stuff that's going to be awakened and aroused on the wedding night, okay, when the union is complete. Don't awaken it too early, all right, until it's the right time. I talked about this in one of the weeks in the past about, like, the 5-speed model. Which I told you, this is not like doctrinal. This is just like, hey, it worked for me, and I see it working for others, so I'll share my experience. I believe that your emotional moving should be like a 5-speed car. Okay? You start in first, when it's time to move to second, you go to second, third, fourth, fifth. The speeds of the car are as follows. Starts off with friendship. Okay? A lot of you guys may be in that first speed right now with others. You're just getting to know, you hang out in groups, you kind of spend time together here and there, maybe not one-on-one as much as just in groups and just kind of getting to know each other and, you know, hanging out and stuff like that. Then, there comes a point in time, boy likes girl likes boy, okay? Boy tells girl how much he likes her, girl tells boy how much she likes him. They're ready to start pursuing second gear. Second gear is courtship. Courtship is like deliberate, it's another word for dating. It's like deliberately getting to know the other person to see if they're ready for marriage. Okay? So friendship is, like I said, all of us hanging out. Then all of a sudden we zero in on the one and I say, hey. I notice you, you be noticing me and stuff like that. No, I'm just joking. I say, there seems to be a good chemistry here. Okay, and there seems to be good potential. Why don't we invest, not to get married or engage, to see if this will work or not? And then you do. You shift in the second. You begin to get more emotional involved. You hang out one-on-one. Okay, you start to talk about more subjects. You deliberately try to find out information about the other person by asking them questions. Third gear is when that's gone good, you shift into engagement. Engagement leads to marriage. Then you hit fifth gear when you have kids, and your life is pretty much over at that point in time. Now, let me give you my two cents on the subject right here, okay, when it comes to the five speeds. First thing, all of this must be under the guidance of my father of confession, because I do not know how to drive a car, and neither do you, okay? So what we need to do is go to someone who's driven a car, who's helped other people drive their cars, who's fixed transmissions in the past, okay, and makes a habit out of seeing bad transmissions, okay, which have destroyed lives, and he can help guide you and say, you know what, stay in first. Okay? Or he can tell you, like, pick up the pace here a little bit, okay? But you need the guidance of someone like that. Second piece of advice I'll give you, my personal preference, spend more time in second gear and less time in third gear. Spend more time figuring out if this is the one or not the one. Spend more time figuring out if this is going to work or not to work. And spend less time in the time of engagement. Engagement is not as fun as it sounds. Engagement is hard work, and engagement also creates temptations and stresses and stuff that is not easy to deal with. So my advice is, do not rush into engagement. Please. If you have to spend more time in courtship, do it. The other thing is not to, I hope I'm not touching anyone's sensitive point right here, is no one wants to go backwards. Okay, I don't want to go in the third, get engaged, and then go back to first. Okay, it's a painful shift. The less back I have to shift, like to shift from second to first is not as big a deal. But to shift from third, it's difficult. Fourth, it's impossible. Once you hit fourth, you're locked in for life. Okay, no such thing as shifting out of fourth. So my advice is, it's kind of like when you cross the street. Okay. You wait, you make sure there's no cars, you make sure there's no cars, and then you go. And once you start to go, you still have to be wary, but I hope at this point in time, when you're in the middle of the street, you've done a very thorough job of assessing the cars that are around and making sure that none will smack you, okay? Don't rush into the street and try to play like Frogger, you know? That's what a lot of us try to do. Be careful, look both ways, look three times, look 10 times for all you want. I don't care. Spend a year looking to make sure, but then once you see it's clear and the little walk sign says walk, go for it, okay? And don't hesitate. Yes?
I agree with you about the engagement. I hated our engagement. It was
okay.
The worst time.
Sorry, man. It's all coming out. It's okay. There's healing. There's healing. Give us more. Give us more. That's a very good question. Okay. That's a very good question. And with all due respect to your mother and your father, okay, I will say what I often tell some couples. Now, this is 100% off the record. I will deny in front of your parents till they can. You can say what you want. I'll deny it. Everyone will back me up. I'm the priest. You're not. I have more credibility than you do. Okay? Sometimes parents, forgive me, don't know everything about everything. Now, with that said, I'm not saying your parents are not a good tool for you. I'm not saying they don't give good advice. They do give good advice, and they're very, like, God speaks through our parents. But specifically when it comes, especially, like, let me just take a guess. Are you the oldest sibling?
Only child.
Oof. Even worse. Sorry, man. Man, my heart goes out to you, man. I was going to say, if oldest, okay, and it's the first one to leave the nest, yeah, they're going to be excited, they're going to want this nest. If you're only child, you're only one to leave the nest, yeah, there's going to be some added pressure right there. But you can't let that dictate what you do. This is where your father of confession becomes your backbone, okay? And you seek his guidance more than, I don't say more than, okay? The best thing is you take your assessment, your parents' assessment, everyone's assessment, you bring it to your father of confession. I'm not joking. I still do this to this day. I say, Abunam Shoy, this is what I think. You tell me what to do. And anything you do, I'll... Because that way, if it's wrong, it's your fault. Okay? And it's not mine. I'm not joking. I do this all the time with him. When I can't figure out what to do, I bring it to him. You tell me what you want me to do, and I just obey. And the best thing in life, and actually for guys, if you learn how to do this with your father of confession, you'll be a very good husband. Okay? Whatever you say. Okay, you tell me. Here's all the criteria. Here's the facts on the table. You do what you want. You tell me what you want. Okay? And that's what you should do with your father of confession. My parents are pressuring me doesn't mean I should move forward. All right? And also, like, don't take this the wrong way. But our parents have a different model than we have. Okay? And I'm not saying their model is bad. In fact, if you look at the results, their model yielded very, very good marriages. Yielded not so good ones too, but it's a different style. Their model, going from engagement back to friendship, is not that big a deal. If you look back to Egypt, okay, and how our parents' generation, very easy for them to get engaged and break, and engaged and break. And it wasn't like a stigma, and it wasn't like, because they weren't, like, the model was, you meet someone, it kind of is not that bad, you get engaged, and you see how it works. And if you're in that culture, in that society, it may work out for you. But again, this is just my personal preference. No. Yes, sir.
I was going to say that, because in their model, engagement came before courtship. So.
That's true. That's a very good point, Sherry. In their model, in the society that they came from, engagement came before courtship. Absolutely. It was friendship, leads to engagement, if it were, and then courtship, and then marriage. Very good point. Someone have a hand up here? So we're cool on that one? We all understand? Now, a similar question, which is kind of related to that one, this is one that a female asked. We said that a female is supposed to be independent of guys, okay, in the dating phase, and we got a break. Remember we talked about this last week? Sometimes the devil lies to us and says, I need a guy, I need a guy, I need a guy. And we say we want to rebel against that lie and say the truth is that I really need God. I don't need a guy, okay? I don't need a guy to make me happy. How am I supposed to go from I don't need a guy to, in marriage, being completely submissive and one with a guy? Well, again, it's a gradual process that takes place over time. It's not a belly flop, okay? It's the kind of thing that you should slowly become more and more attached to as you go through. And the other thing that I'll add, because even with this model, the biggest jump is between third and fourth gear, okay? That's a gear which is like, so if first to second is huge like this, and second to third is really, really big, fourth gear is on the other side of those doors. Because it's a chasm, okay, that can't be crossed. It can only be crossed one time. And it's something that you can't even cross yourself. It's God picks you up and puts you over there. You can do stage one, two, and three by yourself. Hey boy, hey girl, I like you. You can do that fine. But becoming one flesh, you can't do that business. You can't do that. There's a sacrament and a power and a grace there which we so often underestimate. So don't worry about how you will be able to be completely submissive in marriage. Don't worry about how you'll be able to go from here to all the way over there. That's God's part. And there's a sacrament and a mystery and a grace there that can't be described. But God does the unity is what I'm trying to say. Okay? I can tell you that from my own, like me personally. Before I was married, okay, of course I love to speak to Marianne, she's the best and all this kind of stuff, but they don't know me before marriage. I'm not the most social person, okay? I didn't like to speak to people, okay? I could do it, and I could get by in social settings and this and that, but you ask me and John Madden do much better than me and any other person, okay? I sit with the TV and we're cool, and if I had to talk to you on the phone, it was like, ugh. And painful and pulling teeth, and I dial phone numbers and just praying, come on voicemail, come on voicemail, come on voicemail, come on. I still do that to this day. But not with Marianne. With Marianne, it's the opposite. With Marianne, somehow, and this is truly a miracle, okay? We can sit and talk forever, okay? It's something that is, I can't talk to anyone else, but I can talk to her. It's a Holy Spirit thing which can't be put into words. That's the part where you're supposed to say, aww. Thank you. Cool on that one? Okay, there's one last question I want to get to. Okay, this is from Mr. Pat Yusuf right here.
You have a problem. God angelic voice, he's God. And I still have a problem. What's the best way for me to find the two? Should I go out a lot? Should I go to conventions? Or should I go to CopticMatch.com?
This is easy. CopticMatch.com, baby. Forget about it. $10 for the first month, $75 for a year subscription. This is the way to go. We may have a user there of CopticMatch.com who has just been uncovered. That's okay. There's healing. We're all healing today. We're healing. It's okay. What does Oprah do when this happens? What does Oprah do when this happens on the show? Goes to commercial. Someone run a commercial. Run the Father Anthony clip again. How is the best way to meet the two? What should I do? Should I go out a lot? Like, this is very practical. And I'm being very honest right now. Here I am. I'm committed to God. I want to do the right thing. How do I meet the two? Well, coming to Light and Life, have me meet the two. Well, going to church and praying all day, let me meet the two. How do I find them? Do I go out? Do I go to conventions? Do I go to internet sites? Do I have my friends set me up? Do I have my parents set me up? Do I go desperate and go to my father of confession to set me up? What do I do? Well, this one's easy. Okay? This is easy. What you need to do is get to know the one, and he will lead you to the two. Let me put it to you this way. Your spouse is not something to be found. It is something to be revealed. What's the difference? Your spouse is not someone that you should go out and find. If it was something to find, then I'd be the first one to tell you, get out there, man. Get out there to the ECYC. Get out there to the Destin Convention. Get out there and meet some people. But it's not something that you can find. It's something that can only be revealed. It's a magic treasure that is hidden somewhere on this earth and only I know the answer to. Let's say there's a key that unlocks the happiness to your life. And I'm the only one who knows where it is. I told you I hid it somewhere in America. Somewhere under a rock in America. Are you going to go under every single rock in the United States of America and search? You can. You're an idiot. What's a better way? Spend time with me. I have the key in my pocket. Maybe it's under that rock. Maybe it's under the rock. Maybe it's under my shoe in my house. You're never going to find it while you're out there under... It's not a scavenger hunt is what I'm trying to tell you. It's something that can only be revealed by God. Any attempts on your part to find it, well, again, shot in the dark, throw a dart out there and hope it lands. That's why I'm always a fan of... There's two ways to go about your relationship. Me pushing God... And God, bless this. Come on, bless this. Make this work. Versus God pulling me. Say, come on, man. Why are you so slow? Come on, I got someone for you. Which is the better model? Do you want to ask a question?
Yeah, doesn't that kind of sound more like there actually is one person from God, though?
Doesn't that make it sound like there is one person from God? Again, back to my model. When I am right here, God has a 100%, like God 100% has a place that he wants me to go. Has a job he wants me to take, has a person he wants me to marry, has a this, has a all this kinds of stuff. Right? He has it planned, and he will reveal it to me. If I don't listen, and 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 I don't listen, does God still have a will for me? Yes. Is it the same as before? The destination is the same, but the journey, which is much more important than the destination... Okay? Well, the destination is there, but the journey to get there is different. And the spouse is part of the journey, not the destination. Okay?
So God can have a plan, but also have a backup plan?
No. It's not that God has a backup plan. God has a plan. And sometimes we screw it up. Okay? But God fixes it and makes it better. It's not that he has a backup plan. God has a plan. And like I said, his plan was for me from day one never to ever, ever, ever do a sin. I screwed that up. He fixes it. I screwed up again. He fixes it. I screwed up again. He fixes it. Sometimes I really screwed up. He's got to make like a workaround to get me back to where I want to. And again, like I said, maybe God wants me to go from here to there, but he knows I'm not smart enough right now. I need to go to here, learn some lessons, go here, learn a painful lesson, and then go here. So God has a will right here. That's what I'm saying is, let's say when I was 18, I knew God wanted me to marry Marianne. Let's say somehow it revealed it to me. But God didn't want me to marry Marianne at the time. God wanted me to be here and do this mistake and then learn this lesson so that by the time I got over here, I wasn't an idiot. Okay, and I knew what I was doing. You know what I'm saying? So he wanted me to go through those steps. And it could be the same thing. But the most important thing, that's why I'm saying, the most important thing is be in tune with him. Okay? Be in tune with him, because if he wants you to go from here to there in that kind of a circular way, that's the only way that you're going to have the perfect plan. So God's will is not something to be discovered. God's will is something to be revealed. Remember when Christ was born in a manger? How did the wise men know where it was? The star told them. It's not like they went out and did research, and it's not like they asked around. I mean, very simple. Where the star is, go where the star is. If the star is there, go there. If the star is there, go there. It's easy. Simple. All you have to do is know what the star looks like, be very keen at knowing the star, and wherever the star is, you just go. An idiot could do it. That's all the same thing with your spouse. Okay? Just learn to follow the star. And wherever the star stops, go there. If the star moves, go there. And if the star comes back, and if the star does donuts in the grass, do donuts in the grass. Go where the star goes. Okay? Theme verse of this series has been Psalm 37, verse 4. And it's the most appropriate one. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desire of your heart. I promise you, okay, if you trust in God, and you put your hope in God, not in your guns, or not in your witty personality, or not in your skills, or your conventions, or your $10 subscription, if you put your trust in God, you delight yourself in the Lord and Him alone, is there any chance that He's going to leave you? Is there any chance He's going to say, tough luck? Is there any chance that if my son comes to me and says, Dad, I will do whatever you tell me to do, that I say, ha, gotcha. Now you are in for it, sucker. Any chance of that? There's no chance God would do the same thing. If I go to my Father in heaven, I say, God, I'm yours 100%. I'll do whatever it is you tell me. Of course He's going to give me the best. You know, even if I don't understand it, He's always working out good for me. Make sense? All right. With that, we'll conclude our dating series. I hope you guys enjoyed it. If anyone does have any more questions, you can feel free to ask me afterwards anything you got. Okay? Let's stand up for a prayer now. Face this way. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. We thank You, our dear Heavenly Father, because You are not a distant God, but because You are a God who is alive and active in our lives. And I know, dear Lord, that You have a perfect plan for each and every single one of us. A plan to make us like You. A plan to give us joy. Help us, dear Lord, to really delight ourselves in You. To trust that You'll take care of us. We don't need to take care of ourselves. That You'll provide for us. We don't need to provide for ourselves. It's so hard to trust You with things that hit this close to home, Lord. But I know that when Your children are trusting in You, I know You'll never leave them. I know there's many people who come today sad or maybe hurting or lonely or whatever. And I know, dear Lord, that You in Your heart hurt more than they do. But I know that You'll take care of them, provide them the best. Bless the relationships that are taking place here. Bless the marriages. Bless the family unit inside every single one of the homes and the members of this church. Let us to always be glorifying and pleasing to You in everything that we do and just be seeking You above all else. Thank You again for Your love. Thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace and for Your kindness that fixes my mistakes even when we don't even want to be fixed. Pray all that You would accept this prayer in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Special prayer for His Holiness Pope Shenouda and his health and his surgery tomorrow. Pray that You would grant him health and healing and safety and bring him out of this in a stronger and better way. Pray for our church here, Father Bunim Shoy and Stony Rini and all those who ask us, remember them in our prayers through our Lord Jesus Christ. The intercessions and prayers of all Your saints. Hear us as we pray thankfully. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.